Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Baldev Prabhuji on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.20.34. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I will now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Text Number 34. Maitreya Vacha Iti Vainyasya Rajarishe Prati Nandhyartha Vadvachaha Pujito No Grihit Vainam Gantum Chakriya Chuto Matim. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The great saint Maitreya told Vidura, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead amply appreciated the meaningful prayers of Maharaj Prithu. Thus, after being properly worshipped by the king, the Lord blessed him and decided to depart." Purport. Most important in this verse are the words Pratinandyarthavat Vachaha, which indicate that the Lord appreciated the very meaningful prayers of the king. When a devotee prays to the Lord, it is not to ask for material benefits, but to ask the Lord for His favor. He prays that he may be engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet, birth after birth. Lord Chaitanya therefore uses the words Mama Janmani Janmani, which mean birth after birth. Because a devotee is not even interested in stopping the repetition of birth, the Lord and the devotee appear in this material world birth after birth, but such births are transcendental. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord informed Arjuna that both he and Arjuna had undergone many, many births previously. But the Lord remembered everything about them, whereas Arjuna had forgotten. The Lord and His confidential devotees appear many times to fulfill the Lord's mission. But since such births are transcendental, they are not accompanied by the miserable conditions of material birth, and they are therefore called divya, transcendental. One must understand the transcendental birth of the Lord and the devotee. The purpose of Lord's taking birth is to establish devotional service, which is the perfect system of religion. And the purpose of the birth of a devotee is to broadcast the same system of religion or the bhakti cult all over the world. Prithu Maharaj was an incarnation of the power of the Lord to spread the bhakti cult, and the Lord blessed him to remain fixed in his position. Thus, when the king refused to accept any material benediction, the Lord appreciated that refusal very much. Another significant word in this verse is achyut, which means infallible. Although the Lord appears in this material world, He is never to be considered one of the conditioned souls who are fallible. When the Lord appears, He remains in His spiritual position, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. And therefore in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord expresses the quality of his appearance as Atma Mayaya, performed by internal potency. The Lord, being infallible, is not forced by material nature to take birth in this material world. He appears in order to re-establish the perfect order of religious principles and to vanquish the demoniac influence in human society. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashyatya Deshatarine. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyasya Vipasindu Vyayevacha Adhidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for this Bhakti Sangha conference. And I'm very grateful to all of you for having joined here. I was ordered by all of you to speak on this beautiful verse on the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now this is a very nice chapter which we are continuing for a few days.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes.
Your voice is very low. We are barely can hear you.
Okay. I will shout and speak. So we are speaking from the Bhagavatam, the fourth canto today. Is that okay? Hare Krishna, can you hear me? This is better?
Yes.
Thank you. So we are dealing with a beautiful chapter in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which speaks about the appearance of the Lord in front of Prithu Maharaj. So Lord is coming and giving his darshan to Prithu Maharaj, and there is a beautiful dialogue which has taken place between Lord glorifying Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj glorifying the Lord. And this very verse which we are taking today, it speaks about Lord congratulating Prithu Maharaj, and the conversation is over and the Lord is departing back to his spiritual abode. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada more or less throughout the purport speaks about the transcendental nature of Lord's birth and the transcendental nature of the pure devotee's birth in this material world. So when I got this verse from the organizer, I was really very thankful, because you see, right now at this juncture of our time, this month, we can see that we are in midst of celebrating the wonderful appearance, celebrations of Lord and his associates, right? We just began our celebrations around 15-20 days back with celebrating Lord Balaram Jayanti, Lord Balaram's appearance day.
The last week we all had wonderful ecstatic Janmashtami, Lord Krishna's appearance day, and now we are awaiting the beautiful appearance of the most merciful Srimati Radharani. So it's a nice purport to speak on and deliberate on and discuss while we are celebrating three great appearances at this instance. So you see here, Prabhupada speaks very beautifully that Lord's birth in this material world is transcendental. So let's take this first point, Lord's birth is transcendental. And later we will speak also on how pure devotee, the great devotees of the Lord, their birth in this material world is as well transcendental. Now, I remember a beautiful story which the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was establishing Gaudiya Mathas, this beautiful story comes in that time. So there was a Gaudiya Math which Sarasvati Thakur had established in Vrindavan. And fortunately, at the time when the story took place, Srila Sarasvati Thakur was also in Vrindavan. So this story is of a German person, a seeker, a person who was born in Germany, but very much interested in knowing more about the nature of the Absolute Truth. So he had heard, he had read many, many books in his own religion, and he had got a concept of Absolute Truth, the Supreme Lord, from those books. However, he had a very deep desire to know more, if some more information can be got from other literatures as well. What is the real concept, the full concept of God? So with that understanding, this German seeker left his country, Germany, and went on a tour, a tour of seeking what the nature of Absolute Truth is all about. So in his travels, he went to many countries, practiced or read the books of various religions, and then he was very much intrigued to travel more further. And towards the end of his travel, he came to the land of India. In the land of India, he visited many, many holy places, tirthas, dhams. And he went to many, many temples. And he worshipped many, many gods. There were many temples he saw, varieties of them, with many devis and devatas and Supreme Lord himself. All those temples he visited, read many books and many shastras. And his search led him to Vrindavan. And when he came to Vrindavan, he saw the beautiful temple of Lord Krishna. So when he saw the beautiful temple of Lord Krishna, indeed, he was very much satisfied. And he came to conclusion that I have come to the right place, and this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that tour of Vrindavan, while being Vrindavan, he came across Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj's books. He read those books, was completely convinced of the philosophy, and fortunately for him, when Sarasvati Thakur was there, he met Sarasvati Thakur and he begged to take initiation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur knew very well that it was not very common to see a foreigner coming to Vrindavan and becoming a devotee of Krishna. Those days, there was hardly anyone. Right? We see nowadays in Vrindavan, so many devotees from all over the world come and practice Krishna consciousness. Thanks to the contribution of Srila Prabhupada, from 1965 onwards, there was a big flow of devotees from all over the world to Vrindavan. Vrindavan became well known all over the world. But before Prabhupada left for America, very, very few people knew about Vrindavan. Within India also, many people were not coming to Vrindavan because Vrindavan was very basic that time, not much of facility. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur knew that for a foreign person like a person from Germany coming to Vrindavan and coming to conclusion that Krishna is Supreme Lord is indeed very, very amazing. So he was asked, how did you come to this conclusion? You may have read books, but what was your realization? So this German devotee, this person said, that whenever I went, whichever places I went all over the world while I was traveling, in some places I saw people were worshipping a god who was very, very angry god when someone committed sin, and that god would throw that person into hell eternally. the same time, the same God was very loving and merciful to those who followed his injunction, and therefore he was very happy towards them. So I heard this concept one place, and then I moved on. When I came to India, I saw there are so many temples with so many gods and goddesses, but I saw them all very busy doing some activity. Every one of them were carrying some weapons in their hand, as if they were busy in some very important business of destroying or killing someone. Someone was holding a chopper, someone was holding a trident, someone was holding a spear, and so on and so forth. You mentioned that I also saw some gods who were doing meditation. That means they were meditating on something. So they had some activity to do in their life. So I was very much respectful to them, but then I knew something is much more higher than this. And then when my search brought me to Vrindavan, I saw the deity of Krishna. And immediately I came to conclusion, this must be Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because this deity is not doing any activity. He's not busy in some activity. He's just busy enjoying. And enjoyment, he's playing a flute. Right? So someone is playing a flute means he is very much enjoying. He is in a spirit of no anxiety and just relax and just playing his flute. So I came to conclusion, he told Bhaktisiddhanta Sutakur, that Krishna is Supreme Lord. All the activities which he needs to be do is done by some of his inferiors or juniors, and he is just relaxed and enjoying. Srila Saraswati Thakur said that indeed the German devotee has come to right conclusion. Krishna is Rasaraj, is a reservoir of pleasure. The only thing Krishna does is enjoy. One time Srila Prabhupada was on his morning walk, and there was one gentleman who was not a devotee but also had joined the morning walk. He was a visitor in the temple. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, why did Lord made this world? Why did he ever created this material world? So Prabhupada saw him, and Prabhupada said, Lord created this world for enjoyment. So kind of there was a smile on the face of this new guest. He thought, wow, that's the purpose of this world, to enjoy. That's a very nice purpose. So Prabhupada could see that he was very happy. This man was happy to hear this word, enjoyment. Immediately Prabhupada corrected. Prabhupada said, yes, enjoyment, but not yours. Krishna's own enjoyment. So when Krishna creates this world, he creates it for enjoyment. Actually, the only activity Krishna is doing is what? He is exchanging mellows, rasas, with his devotees. That's the most important and primary activity Krishna is always doing. So when Krishna is in spiritual world, he is busy engaged in enjoying rasas, in enjoyment with his devotees. And Krishna comes in this material world as well. That is the same purpose. In the material world also, Krishna comes for enjoyment. In fact, Krishna comes for an enjoyment with a mission. The mission is to attract all of us to compare the enjoyment of the world, the enjoyment Krishna shows what's happening in the spiritual world. Krishna comes in the material world to trailer. Now all of you will be aware of the word trailer. Now in the olden days, many of us may have seen some films. So film, whenever it is released, before they release the film, it's a 3 hours or 2 hours film, to create an interest in the audience or the spectator to come and watch the film, they create a 2 minute or 3 minute trailer. And that trailer is shown to everyone, so that by seeing the trailer, people get a gist of what the film is all about, and they can come and watch the film. They'll be inspired to come and watch the film. So Krishna comes in this material world and gives us a trailer of what's happening eternally in the spiritual world. Krishna comes, gives a trailer, and the acharyas write books on those trailers. So we have this 10th canto of Bhagavatam, which is a trailer of what's happening in the spiritual world. Because not everything happening in the spiritual world is given in 10 canto. It's a song, pastimes here and there. Like I was reading the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, mentioning in one of his purports that actually Krishna killed minimum 2 or 3 demons every day when he was in Vrindavan. Minimum 2 or 3 demons. So one demon he would kill in the morning, one pre-lunch, one maybe post-lunch just before retiring. So we can calculate if Krishna is killing 2-3 demons every day, Krishna stayed in Vrindavan for 11 years. So how many demons Krishna must have killed? Unlimited. But how much information we have of Krishna killing demons? Maybe 20 plus demons Krishna killed, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, right? So we have got a trailer information. So that trailer, when we watch, we get an idea of what's happening in the spiritual world. So that is the whole idea Krishna is propagating through his pastimes in this material world. He is giving us a wake-up call. He is telling to all conditioned souls, get up, wake up, see, I'm enjoying always. Why don't you join me? Right? So I have come in this material world to give you a trailer that what's happening in the spiritual world. You are given to the spiritual world, you are in this material world, you are suffering here. Even if you are enjoying, that enjoyment is so much mixed with suffering, right? There is a lot of suffering and very little enjoyment. Yesterday we had a program and we were discussing about the enjoyment in this material world, and one devotee made a brilliant point. He said our enjoyment is like cooking, you know, cooking. Or eating is like our enjoyment. Let's say for example at home we eat food, prasadam, right? How much time it takes to eat prasadam? 15 minutes or 20 minutes, right? Around that much time. 20 minutes of enjoyment eating prasadam. But what is the pack, the arrangement to make that prasadam? If for the 20 minutes of enjoyment, there is so much of slogging, so much of hard work. The ladies are doing hard work in the kitchen to cook that prasadam, the cutting of vegetables, the cleansing of the vessel, the cooking of the whole thing, maybe an hour or two or more than 15 minutes of eating, but 2 hours of cooking, and that's not enough. More than that, there is also shopping. Anyway, the shopping is not over yet. There is a class of people. For example, there are people who work in the office, you know. At home, we have our people who are working. They are working day and night, only in the office, just to earn some money. So earning of money is involved, shopping is involved, cutting is involved, utensil washing is involved, cooking is involved, and all that efforts and 15-20 minutes of enjoyment. So that's a brilliant example to relate to, that how enjoyment in this world is always connected with so much of hard work and so much of toiling. So Krishna tells us, why so much of hard work and toiling? Come there to spiritual world and enjoy with us, enjoy with me. So that is how Krishna is marketing. Krishna comes and does a marketing of a spiritual world. Krishna gives us the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam. And then the devotees of Lord, pure devotees, they come as salesperson. They are the marketing, like the marketing agencies who go and propagate Krishna's goodwill, Krishna's plan, Krishna's teaching. Now on the other hand, while Krishna is propagating how he is enjoying in the spiritual world, when he comes in the material world, there are foolish people. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashitam. The Gita says, Krishna tells, that there are people who consider Krishna to be a mere human being. There are many people you will find in the course of your stay in this material world, you will find people saying, oh, Krishna, he was not God. He was a very powerful human being. We made him God. There is no God like that. Those stories may come up. But we should know that actually Krishna, while he is doing his preaching, is propagating all of us to come to spiritual world, there's a band of idiots or fools who even confuse with Krishna, who doubt Krishna. Such people are also there. I remember one time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving a lecture in the temple here, and he was mentioning that how when he goes on travels, he meets many people who even questions Maharaj, do you believe in God? And Maharaj said, I was laughing at that question because, you know, I am a sannyasi, a swami, wearing saffron for so many years, and people are asking me a question, do you believe in God? Right? such questions stupidity people ask, but they don't know the answer. They are very confused. So one story I remember, one time there was one young person, very immature, a new guy, who came to a temple, and he had many doubts and questions. So he approached the spiritual guru of that ashram, and he asked him a question. The same question as what was asked to Radhanath Maharaj. The question was that, do you believe in God? Do you think God exists? Do you think Krishna and Rama, whom you worship, are gods? So the guru asked the person, what makes you think that they are not God? Can you tell me that? So the person said, we see anyone in this world, when they are born, they are bound by their activities, right? We are all doing some activities, but we get attached to those activities. So Krishna and Ram, they are also human beings. We saw them. We also hear about them from the books and all, that they took birth, they had parents, they also underwent some education, then they got married. So they were also living like us. And they were also crying when there were some emotions, and they were also happy. This Krishna and this Ram, when he comes, they are also bound by this world. So therefore they cannot be God. So the Guru tried to explain to them that actually Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he is beyond the three modes of material nature. In fact, the three modes of material nature are working under his direction. So Krishna says that three modes of material nature are working under us. So the Guru gave them a lot of slokes and quotations for him to understand. However, this person was not able to grasp. So he decided to give him an experiential learning. That means a lesson from experience. So the Guru said that, well, I think so. We are discussing for quite a long time. You must be hungry. Let me get some Mahaprasad for you. So he went inside the deity room. From behind he saw there was a bucket of special halwa. It was hot, just made and offered. So the Guru got a leaf cup and gave a full leaf cup of halwa to the young man and said, please take this prasadam. Please take prasadam and we can continue our discussion after the prasadam is over. So the man was very happy and he began to eat that hot halwa. So sweet, so nice. He finished the whole halwa very soon. And the Guru said, why not take one more round? I said, sure, why not? So this was 2-3 times he took halwa and he was very happy and contented, satisfied. And the Guru said, now you've taken halwa, I see your hands are getting stuck because of the ghee in the halwa. The halwa was actually dripping ghee. So the Guru told the disciple, the new man, young man, that why don't you go and wash your hands? Because now your hands are fully covered with ghee. So the man said, yes, I need to wash my hands. So the Guru gave him some soap and said, please go and wash. So he took the soap, he went to the water source, the tap, opened the tap and he cleaned his hand, came back with the soap back. And the Guru asked, did you clean yourself very nicely? Said, yes, I cleaned my hand very nicely. Oh, you just cleaned your hand? Why didn't you cleanse your tongue? Why should I clean my tongue? The Guru said, you see, you ate halwa and there are two parts of your body which were touching, which had a touch of halwa, right? One was the hand and you were then dropping your hand, the halwa into the mouth and the tongue was in touch with the halwa. So, the same body, two parts came in touch with halwa. So when you ate halwa, when you touched the halwa, the hands became soiled with ghee. Similarly, your tongue must be also soiled with ghee. So why don't you take this soap and go and open your mouth, get your tongue out, and under the water tap, cleanse your tongue with a soap. And the young man was saying, no, not required. Tongue doesn't get stick with ghee, you know. It's only the hand which stick with ghee. And the Guru said, wow, so in the same very body, there are two body parts. One is the tongue and one is the hand. So in your own body, there are two parts and both the parts are showing two different characteristics. One is getting stuck, the ghee is sticking to the hands, and the other is the ghee is not sticking to the tongue. So if in one body you can see two parts with different characteristics, can't you see in this material world two personalities? One is a conditioned soul getting stuck to three modes of material nature, and other is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who comes within the three modes of material nature, yet does not stick to the three modes of material nature. So when his experiential learning was given, this young man understood the point. Yes, indeed, you are right. And he could understand very clearly that Krishna appears in this material world, but Krishna is not affected by this material world. Therefore, Krishna's activities, birth, janma, karma, cha, me, divyam, are all transcendental. So now Krishna appears and he portrays a plan for all of us to join him back. But Krishna does not come alone. Krishna comes with his entourage. Just like when a very, very VIP person comes to a place, he doesn't come alone. He comes with his entourage. Let's say, for example, in our own cities, if a very big minister, a cabinet minister from parliament comes, we will never find him that he will come in a bike driving alone or driving his own car. He will always come with his entourage. In fact, before he comes, there is a preparation, a team, preparatory team which comes and clears the whole thing so that he can come, stay at the right place, eat the right food. So there is a preparation team which comes, advanced team. And when the minister comes, he also is accompanied by many of other associates, secretary, etc., etc. In fact, when we see that a minister drives on the road is kept cleared, right? And when the minister is driving, before his car, there are many more cars and there are many more bikes. And after his car, there are many more cars and also many more bikes. So this is the whole entourage goes together. So this is how Krishna as well functions. I would say Krishna functions and these people are copying Krishna. So Krishna also works in a similar way wherein Krishna comes, but before Krishna coming, his associates come first. Like for example, now we see Balramji coming first before Krishna coming. Then Krishna appears, and after Krishna, Srimati Radharani appears. Taking this into complete picture, when Krishna appears, or not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, or whenever Krishna's incarnation comes, they all come with their associates. So all the great devotees who came before and after Krishna, what is their work? Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport. If you see the purport, just hold on. If you see the purport, you will see this beautiful point Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, where he says that the purpose of Lord's taking birth, the purpose of Lord's taking birth, is in the second paragraph, is to establish devotional service, which is the perfect system of religion. And the purpose of the birth of a devotee is to broadcast the same system of religion or bhakti cult all over the world. So Krishna comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the mission of propagating Krishna consciousness. And the devotees, the pure devotees, come after Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to help the Lord in spreading this mission. So we can see that coming in this beautiful sampradaya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, right? After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, Nityananda Prabhu was there, who spread the mission all over the world, all over the India, especially in Bengal. And then throughout the whole thing, the six Goswamis wrote books to establish Krishna consciousness. That was the order given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After six Goswamis, the trio of Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Pandit, they took these books of Goswamis, replicated those books, and spread the teachings in Bengal and Odisha. And after that, then we see the whole parampara going on. Finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur coming, the pioneer of Krishna consciousness. When everything was dwindling down, he again rearranged Krishna consciousness to be presented in a unique way. He presented through the form, in the form of books. He was there preaching, but more of his preaching was writing books. And he wrote hundreds of books to establish the solidarity of Krishna consciousness. And then he prayed for help. That Krishna, please send me a ray of Vishnu. You are a special soul who can help me propagate this Krishna consciousness. And in the wake of that call, Srila Saraswati Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj came, and he later on established the Gaudiya Mata,
And then he went all over India, establishing 64 Gaudiya Mathas. At those times, at that time, at those era, where transportation was not very easy in India, the local transportation was poor. There were no buses, there was no even trains. That's my example. If someone had to go to Vrindavan, today it may take 24 hours to go to Vrindavan from Mumbai to Delhi or Mathura. But those days, it took 3 days or 4 days by trains to reach. And those trains were not running daily. So, in those times, Sri Thakur, he actually traveled all over the India and established 64 Gaudiya Mathas. But he had a bigger vision, because he knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told, Prithvite Achi Yata Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Vaibhyam Puranam. So he was always planning how this preaching could go beyond the walls of India, beyond the borders of India. And therefore he tried his best. He sent many of his disciples to London and they came, they went and did a lot of work. But what much success was seen in terms of what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarvathakur was expecting. And at that time, Srila Saraswati Thakur was telling many of his disciples to do something, preach abroad. And then, we know very well that how 1922, Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master for the very first time at the Ulta Danga Junction Road, Calcutta. Recently, for the good news of everyone, this Ulta Danga Junction Road, which was not in ISKCON's property, has come back to ISKCON, and now they are renovating this place, where the place where the first time ever Srila Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj, and this very seed of preaching of Krishna consciousness all over the world was given to him. So Srila Prabhupada got that seed, and for 40 years he struggled, and finally in 1965 Srila Prabhupada was able to manifest the great tree of Krishna consciousness preaching. So what do we learn from Srila Prabhupada's life? Srila Prabhupada was always extending himself, so that Krishna's mission, not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, could be established. As mentioned before, the purpose of birth of a devotee is to broadcast the same system of Krishna Bhakti all over the world. Srila Prabhupada did this work. And in this pursuit of his work, he met so many people, influenced their life, and made them either fully devotees, or at least made an impact in their life. Well-wishers and understanding them and made them understand about Krishna. There are many people who could not become devotees of Krishna, but at least they understood Krishna is Supreme Lord and that I am maybe not on as per the standard, but at least Krishna is Lord. That understanding was given to everyone in the world through Prabhupada, through his books. Now I remember some of those stories and pastor Krishna Prabhupada, but devotees interacting with Krishna Prabhupada felt the connection. The need, the connection with Srila Prabhupada made an impact in their life by which they became devotees of Krishna. I have an example here which was quoted in one of his classes by His Holiness Sachidananda Swami Maharaj. Sachidananda Maharaj mentioned that when Srila Prabhupada was traveling in Europe, and that time Sachidananda Maharaj had newly joined the temple, he was told to go do the backup service in the DT kitchen, in the DT room. So while doing the backup service, Srila Prabhupada entered that temple where he was doing that backup service. Prabhupada offered obeisances to the deities there. And Prabhupada took the darshan of the deities. And then Prabhupada went into his room along with the leaders of those temples. When Prabhupada went into the room, after some half an hour or so, the temple president came out of Prabhupada's room directly into the backup room. And he said, Srila Prabhupada told me that the deities are not very happy. Sachidananda Maharaj was surprised. Prabhupada could see the deities are not happy. And Prabhupada said, deities are not happy because the standard of cleanliness is not so good in this temple. So Sachidananda Maharaj was taken aback. The Pujari also was there. He was also surprised. The standard is not good. What is wrong in that? So Prabhupada said that when they are offering food to the deities, it looks like the deity washing plates. The plates are there. That are not washed properly. It looks like someone is not washing or someone is very careless while doing his service. So the Pujari immediately saw that Sachidananda Maharaj was a backup to him. Hey, what is this? So Prabhupada is saying that you are not doing service properly. Is that true? Is that so? So immediately Sachidananda Maharaj took up a plate which came from the altar. And indeed he saw that one plate, somewhere down the line, there was some Mahaprasad's previous offering. washed up in that night. That means he had not properly washed up the night. So Prabhupada had told that point and the devotee who was washing that he should not be very much worried about anything. He should just focus on his service. Rajanandan Maharaj, when he heard this, he was thinking that, my God, Krishna Prabhupada knows so much. So in the evening time, then he got opportunity with all the leaders and different devotees to also meet Srila Prabhupada for a brief time and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are right. Actually, I was thinking a lot about my family. When I came and joined a few days back, I was back in the mind thinking what will happen to my father, what will happen to my mother, what will happen to my relatives. I left them, everyone. Who will take care of them? So such kind of thoughts were coming to me. And again, in that those thoughts, I was doing service. And maybe because of that, I became very much callous to my service. And therefore, this prasadam was left off like that. So Prabhupada said, don't worry. You are serving Krishna. Please understand, if you serve Krishna nicely with all your mind and attention, Krishna will take care of everything. Krishna is already taking care of the whole world. He will take care of your family as well. Don't worry about that. You just focus on Krishna consciousness. And Sachinandan Maharaj mentioned that that gave me so much solace that I indeed was very much focused in my service. And you can see that how Sachinandan Maharaj got inspiration from Srila Prabhupada to not worry about anything in the world, but to the only anxiety and worry should be, how can I serve Krishna? There are many instances like that where Srila Prabhupada indeed showed us that how Prabhupada connected any person in this world, whether they are new or old, firmly to Krishna consciousness by his beautiful instructions and his presence. This is a small story which comes from the memories of devotees who give their memories to Srila Prabhupada, some memory tapes. Which is circulated by Siddhanta Prabhu. One devotee was mentioning that when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and that was the time that when Prabhupada would give darshan. So there was one cat which was moving around in the temple premises. And this cat suddenly entered into the into the darshan room where Prabhupada was giving darshan. And he entered and directly went and just went and lied down exactly near Prabhupada's feet. Just near Prabhupada. Prabhupada was like sitting on a chair or something like that, and he went and just close to Prabhupada's feet, he just lied there. So they all saw, wow, what a blessing this cat, you know, he is getting. He wanted to shoo the cat away, but Prabhupada was very comfortable. Prabhupada did not show any disturbance to the cat, because of the cat. So the devotees continued to have darshan and asking questions to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was answering the question, and meanwhile, Prabhupada with his feet was massaging the body of the cat with his feet. And all the devotees were wondering, wow, more mercy is coming for the cat, you know. And it happened for some days, like for the day which happened like that, the next day also the same thing happened, the cat came for the darshan, third day also happened something like that. 3 days continuously the cat would exactly come during darshan time and Prabhupada would massage the body of the cat with his lotus feet. On the fourth or fifth day, the cat was not seen. And then after some time, the devotee was searching where the cat is, you know, and someone came to know that cat had died. The cat had died. Suddenly, how can cat die? So anyways, they were sad the cat had died. But anyways, he died in Vrindavan, so it's very good for him, for the cat. So one devotee came back and reported to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, the cat which would come to your lotus feet, and he would massage the body of the cat, he died, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, he is blessed. So everyone was surprised. He is blessed? What do you mean by what? How is blessed, Prabhupada? So Prabhupada said that, he was a yogi in his last life. And he had almost completed his journey of spirituality. Just for one thing he was missing. He was not having enough association of devotees in his life. So therefore he had to take another birth. But because he was not a devotee, he became a cat in Vrindavan. And now his purpose is solved, so now he has gone back home, back to Varad. The devotees were aghast. If a cat can get this benefit, my God, what will happen to those devotees who follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, who dedicate their life to Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's mission? So this is Srila Prabhupada connected even a cat to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. One time, same place, Vrindavan, one magician had come to Vrindavan, and there was a show of this magician in the town of Vrindavan. So that time the Gurukul had just begun, So there are a few boys who are there in Gurukul. So the Gurukul teacher thought that why not bring this magician to the Gurukul area, and the magician can perform some magical tricks and he may entertain the Gurukul boys. That will be good. So then they went and asked the leaders there, can we do that? And the leader said, okay, that's okay, no problem. So the leaders later informed Srila Prabhupada that our magician is going to come and perform some shows to Gurukul boys. Prabhupada said, let's go, we should also go and join that. So now there is a magician, a very famous magician, his name was P.C. Sarkar, he's famous in India still. So he had come that time, so those were the days where he was not so much famous. So he came and he was performing all the magical tricks, the Gurukul boys were enjoying fun, the devotees also were there, they were enjoying. Prabhupada also was smiling, laughing at the tricks. So finally, after some time, this magician, he showed everyone a coin in his hand. Maybe a rupee or maximum, many few rupees, one full coin was shown like that. And then he showed the coin in his hand and then he disappeared. The coin disappeared from the hand. And everyone was shocked, well, the coin has gone. And then the magician walked towards Prabhupada and he went to Prabhupada's ear and removed the coin from Prabhupada's ear. Now when devotees saw that, the Gurukul boys were like laughing like anything. Few devotees did not like that. How can he make Srila Prabhupada as a source of his magic, you know? So they were not very upset. But Prabhupada was so happy, Prabhupada was laughing. And Prabhupada was happy that he removed the coin from his ears. And Prabhupada indeed clapped for this. So this is his magical tricks. So Prabhupada asked him, oh, you made so many things disappear in front of us. Can you also make something disappear in front of us? Something more. So magician asked Prabhupada, what is that, Prabhupada, Swamiji? And Prabhupada said, can you make Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, birth, old age, disease and death disappear? The magician was confused. How can you disappear that? And immediately answered, Swamiji, that thing only you can do. I can't do that. You can make birth, old age, disease and death disappear. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. That is why I have come here. To preach all over the world and make everyone free from the clutches of birth, old age, disease and death. This way we can finish our mission to lift all the conditioned souls from the three modes of material nature. Now here there is a good prayer which comes in the purport. Mama Janmani Janmanishwari. A pure devotee is asking for a benediction. The only benediction he is asking is that life after life I should serve you, Krishna. That is the only benediction he asks. Now, it's a very good benediction to ask from pure from asking the Lord. However, there can be a question that, you know, can a sadhaka also ask the same benediction? Let me always remain in this material world, life after life serving you. Well, someone asked me this question, so I was really confused. What should I answer? Because, you know, we may even ask, let's say a sadhaka may even ask, may attempt, but that attempt may be also very much mechanical. It won't be from the heart, right? It will be mechanical thing, Om Janmanish, Janmanishwari, O Krishna, please let me, birth after birth, even in the material world serving you. It may not be from the heart. But then I heard a lecture of Prabhupada, and then after that, this one devotee was speaking, and Prabhupada gave a very beautiful instruction. There was one devotee who asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am praying to Krishna that let me be a book distributor life after life after life. Let me come again and again in the material world and distribute your books in the Prabhupada. So Prabhupada heard that prayer of that devotee, nice book distributor. Prabhupada saw him and said, no need. Prabhupada said, you don't need to come again. Prabhupada said, as the time progresses, Kali Yuga is going to become more and more horrible. It will be very difficult to even teach. So please don't try to come again and again. Your business is, you distribute book in this very lifetime. At the very time, same time, you also perfect your life so that when you leave your body, you never come back again. So then I got a clue that since you are not on that level, we might as well first confirm our own ticket of going back to Godhead, then to remain here and trying to confirm others' ticket of going back to Godhead. So that is the idea which we received from this particular There are many things to share. The time is not in our favor. At this point, I would like to open up for questions. If there are any questions or there are comments or an addition, subtraction for whatever I spoke, I'm happy to know that. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, is anyone there?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you so much Prabhuji. Very, very nice class and so many pastimes of Prabhupada you shared from the memories. They are really very instructive and we are very grateful for your association. Thank you Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class you gave. Very nice examples and also sharing Prabhupada's and Bhakti Siddhanta Rupa's pastimes. Thank you very much. Very, very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Angal Shri Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very nice memories and stories you told. And it's very true that when we go to Vrindavan, the devotees there, like local devotees, Babaji's and others, they really thank Srila Prabhupada that because of Srila Prabhupada, all these places have got a new importance and a lot of people are coming. Otherwise, they said nobody would like to come here in the small village and who would come. All the people, they will go in the clubs and something in cities like that, they were saying.
Yes. Yeah.
But because of the Srila Prabhupada, people know what the meaning of all this holy places and they come and visit.
Yes, you are right, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, anybody has any question or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna.
Can we close this call?
Yes, Prabhuji. Looks like nobody has any questions, so we can end here. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpata Rupesha Krupa.
Balram Prabhu ki.